Tonight, if we'll open it to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you're familiar with your Bible and you paid attention through the years, this is a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. It's got a Bible story that is taught to every Sunday school kid's ever been in Sunday school much has heard this story. And we're going to read just a little bit of the Scriptures, but we're going to look at it maybe from a little bit different perspective just for a little bit tonight, and just want to challenge you some, all right? So we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want you to begin with me in verse 4. The Bible said, "And there brought out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." Drop down now, if you will, to verse 24. Well, the Bible said, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." It's usual and it's right to put the emphasis in this chapter upon David when we read and teach and preach from it, and that's usually what happens, and it should be that way. David was, the Bible said, the man after God's own heart. He did some great things for God. He left us some wonderful words in the Psalms to bless us, to encourage us, and to challenge our hearts in so many ways. But tonight, just for a few minutes, I want us to look at Goliath, okay? I want us to look at Goliath the giant. Let's face it. Had we been on the battlefield that day, that's who we would have been looking at. I mean, you don't see a guy like him in the neighborhood, as far as we know, maybe in the neighborhood of 10 feet tall. You don't see somebody like that. Anytime you see somebody that's extremely tall, your attention's drawn to them. I'll never forget, boy, I don't know how long ago it was. It was over 50 years ago. My dad and I drove to Plainview, Texas to be in a fellowship meeting. Brother Roy Johnson pastored church out there, and they were having a fellowship meeting. I think it was during the summer. Never forget, we were in there, and, you know, Dad and I were there, and we were sitting, I don't know, a few seats back, and all of a sudden I begin to notice everybody's head doing that number. Well, we did what everybody else does. We looked too, all right? We turned, and man, there was a guy coming down the aisle that, you know, the Bible talks about Saul head and shoulders. Well, this guy was about from here up bigger than everybody. And first time I'd ever seen him. His name was Max Palmer. And he came, I'll never forget, he sat down on the front row. Now, I'll tell you how tall he was. He was so tall that the normal average-sized person, when Max Palmer was sitting down and you stood in front of him, you were eyeball to eyeball with him. And that's how tall he was. Just huge fella, all right? So, yeah, big guys attract our attention. But tonight I want to preach to you on Goliath, the giant failure. Goliath, the giant failure. That's what he was, okay? That is what he was. I know the Bible tells us he was a warrior from his youth. There's absolutely no way of telling. We have no way of knowing how many men that Goliath had met and defeated in battle. Or to catalog any other accomplishments he might have made in his lifetime. We don't know, but whatever he had done before he met David that day on the field of battle truly doesn't matter. Doesn't make any difference. The one thing we can know from meeting him here in 1 Samuel chapter 17 is that he was a giant failure. a giant failure, all right? You say, why do you say that? Well, here we go. Number one, I think he was a failure because he trusted in the flesh. He trusted in the flesh. I believe there's no doubt about it. Yep, Goliath was big. As I've said, in the neighborhood of 10 feet tall, that was all it took to discourage most of his foes. We read there in verse 24, when he came out, when they saw him, they saw the man, they fled from him, and were sore afraid. All it took was to see him, to see him. I mentioned to you Max Palmer. Max Palmer came and preached for us later at Terminal Baptist Church, and I'll never forget talking with him, sitting down and talk with him, and he, at one time before he got saved, he was in professional wrestling, all right? And he said, man, he said, I made $1,000 one night in Las Vegas in about 2 minutes. He said, all I did was showed up in the ring. He said, there were these two guys, and they were talking about how they were going to whoop me. And he said, all I had to do was come out, stand, cross over the ring ropes, put my hands on my hips up behind them and look at them. They turned around, saw me, and took off running. He said, they paid me $1,000 for that. He said, that was in the wrestling ring. It's all bought off. Okay, I'll give you one other story from the life of Max Palmer. He was with he was with another preacher, and they were out, and this other preacher was driving, and somewhere or another, they, in the course of going out where they were going to eat, I think it was after a service, they maybe cut off a guy, and so the person, they got real mad, you know, and they were young guys, and so the preacher and Brother Palmer pulled in where they were going. They went to get out, and the other guys had parked over here. Now, about four guys got out of the car and headed towards them. And the other preacher got out, and they're still coming, but then Max Palmer got out on the other side of the car, and he stood up, and the four guys turned around, went and got back in their car, okay? Hey, you do have to respect that a little bit, right? He was big, but the problem with that is, a big guy like that, if he's not careful, gets to the point where that's where he puts his trust. That's where he puts his trust. Goliath walked in the flesh in opposition to what God's Word tells us in Philippians 3:3. Flip over there, if you will, just for a moment. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible tells us it is not the flesh we're to walk in, but it says to us, we find these words, in verse 3 of Philippians 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and here it is, and have no confidence in the flesh. In the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. But that wasn't Goliath. Goliath's confidence was in what he could do. He figured that he could beat any man one-on-one. That was the reason for his challenge. We read there where he said, hey, look, y'all, we're all soldiers out here, and there's no sense all of us getting in the fight and a bunch of folks getting killed and hurt. He said, let's just make it one-on-one. Y'all pick y'all one. I'll be the one for us. We'll meet. Whoever wins, that settles it, just one-on-one. Well, Goliath was willing to do that because he said, I can handle it. He said, I've got complete trust in myself. I believe I can do that. Let me say this to you, all right? Just as Goliath eventually failed trusting in the flesh, so we should realize you and I shouldn't be intimidated by the size of the enemy, okay? You and I shouldn't be intimidated by the size of the enemy. Look, there is no doubt in the world in which we live, Bible-believing people are becoming a smaller and smaller minority. And folks that are trusting God and trying to obey the Word of God, we're not the majority, okay? We're not the majority. We're in a shrinking minority along the way. And it sometimes seems like that the enemy is unbeatable because of his size. Well, look, that's not where we put confidence. We don't put our confidence in the flesh. Man, we go through the Bible in example after example after example of people that didn't put their confidence in flesh. Instead, they turned to God, and God provided the victory, all right? God took care of it. God carried them to where he wanted them to be because they were obedient to him. And we could talk about the nation of Israel marching around Jericho. Look, Israel wasn't a warring people. They had spent 40 years in the wilderness, not 40 years fighting. They had no siege equipment to go against a walled city, but they had God. And their trust, their confidence wasn't in their flesh. That day that Gideon was about to go against the Midianites and recruited his army, and he looked out at the crowd and said, "This is a good-looking bunch," but God said, "You got too many." You know, and I can't help but think how Gideon felt when he said, "Lord, what do you mean we've got too many?" And the Lord said, "We need to cull it down a little bit." When they got through culling it, there was 300 left. And they're going against the host of the Midianites. And then the whole battle plan is get you a pitcher, get you a lamp. What? And that's the battle plan. Hey, but I believe with all my heart, God wanted to let them know, look, you're not trusting in the flesh, you're trusting in me. You're trusting me. Our trust as we serve God is not in our ability, it's not in our size, it's not in our strength, it's in the God that called us. We ought to trust him. That's where our faith ought to be. Don't put your confidence in the flesh. Goliath did. He wound up dead. He wound up dead. Secondly, I believe he failed not only because he trusted in the flesh, but I believe he was a failure because he was profane. Look at verse 43, would you? Verse 43, "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods." I'll be honest with you. I'd love to wage a war on the vulgarity and profanity of our day. It is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. It disappoints me so much to hear people that name the name of Christ let out with a profanity that you often hear. We've gotten used to it in this day and age. We've gotten used to the vulgarity, all right? We've gotten used to that thing. We overlook what we used to wouldn't tolerate, but we overlook it today. Hey, I just want you to know, Goliath didn't help his cause by cursing David. Cursing David. The cursing didn't help Goliath. Can I just tell you, it's not going to help you either. Not going to help you either. Hey, if you smash your finger with a hammer, it will not feel one bit better if you curse. Not one bit better. I mean, it's not going to do it. Hey, if you get disappointed and you get angered and you gush forth with the profanity, see if that changes it, would you? It's not going to change it. And you say, well, I mean, you know, I can't help myself. I'm tired of that argument. I'm tired of that argument. That argument, you know what that argument really means? That argument really saying, I'm not going to try. I'm not going to try. The truth of the matter is, that's your language. You're the only one can help it. Now, I realize we live in a filthy, profane world, and you hear it more and more. There was a day in my lifetime, years ago, when a man would not curse in the presence of a woman, and if he did, he immediately apologized. Well, they don't apologize anymore because the women are cursing too, all right? It's not going to help you, all right? It's not going to make a change. But if you can decide, I'll change it, I'll quit. You say, I've been doing it for years. Good. Then you can work at it for years to quit, all right? As long as you live, just work at it. I'm going to quit that. I'm going to quit that. I'll never forget when my son was little, there was a word I used. Now, hang on, it wasn't profanity, all right? It wasn't profanity, but there was a word I would use when I was driving. I would talk to the other drivers. Do y'all ever do that? You know, to encourage them along their way. And I'll never forget it. I was driving along, and I'm almost sure we were right down here on Denton Highway going along. and some goofy driver did something and it came out of my mouth. You idiot! Old Lance is in the back seat. And right behind me, he said, "You idiot!" And my wife, she taps me, you know. One of them deals, you're going to have to quit saying that, okay? We even had a Jack and the Beanstalk book, storybook that we'd read to him. And it in there, what was it? The mother, when Jack brought home the beans, you know. Do y'all know the story? I know y'all are uncultured crowd. You'd never even read or heard that song this morning. But anyway, it had those beans, and he brought them home, and his mama said, "You idiot," to him. When we read that book to him, to Lance, we had to change that word, all right? I didn't want him calling people that, all right? Hey, you said, "What'd you do?" Well, I just started using something else. I just shut my mouth. That's the best thing, all right? I want to tell you, anybody can get better at their choice of language. Hey, listen, you're a failure if the only thing you can do is curse. It is a failure, all right? It is a failure. It did it for him. It didn't. Hey, cursing, there's just something about it, all right? It doesn't make you sound intelligent. It doesn't make you sound strong. It doesn't make you sound wise. It doesn't do anything for you except point you out as a profane individual. Hey, could you say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying stop. Stop. Hey, the Bible said, the speaker said, I'll let no filthy communication come out of my mouth. Hey, why is it wrong for God's people to set a little higher standard for ourselves than to always sink to the standard of the world? God help us. Hey, old Goliath, I believe Goliath was a failure because he was profane. Hey, he was a failure because he trusted in himself, his own flesh. He was a failure because he was profane. But look with me, if you will, in verse 42. Now, we read verse 42 just a moment ago. Here's Goliath. He's out in the field of battle, and here comes David. I got a feeling probably when Goliath first saw David, he thought, what's this guy doing? He must be bringing water to somebody. But when he did figure it out, and verse 42, when the Philistine looked about and saw David, the Bible said he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. I read these verses, and I think, I bet old Goliath thought David was just a pretty boy out there. Man, here he comes, you know, he's just out there. The Bible said he disdained him. Why? He was just a youth. He said, what are you saying, preacher? Hey, Goliath fell because of his overconfidence. His overconfidence. And here's Goliath. He sees this kid coming out to him, you know. No armor, no sword, no shield. He had none of that stuff, all right? I think he wrote him off. He wrote him off completely and thought, man, I'm going to swat this dude aside like you will a pesky insect. I'll be done with him, and I'm sure old Goliath is trusting his sword, his spear, his shield, his armor bearer. Here comes this kid with absolutely none of that. None of that on him. And maybe he even saw him and he watched him kneel down and pick up some rocks. Now, if you're a soldier and you're wearing armor and you see this kid picking up rocks, you're thinking, oh, you're going to throw rocks at me. Well, that's going to be a tough one to overcome, all right? He said, what did he say? Man, he had way too much confidence in his own abilities. Way too much confidence in his own ability, and figured this kid was just going to be easily defeated, wasn't going to be anything to it. It's going to be a simple thing to do it. Hey, listen, you and I need to never get in life with that kind of overconfident feeling. Never do that. Look, we have an enemy. Our enemy's real, he's rough, he's radical, he's all of that, he's difficult to deal with. Never get to the point, never think we'll have no problem with the devil. Never do that. I mean, hey, it'd be great if We knew when he come every time he was going to be in the red suit with the horns, the pitchfork, and all of that stuff. If we knew he's coming that way, no problem. But I don't know about y'all, but I've never seen him that way. But I think I've done battle with him a time or two. Hey, listen, never get to that point where you think, man, we should be overconfident. We're going to have no problem with him. I can trust myself. I can trust my ability. I can trust the times. Hey, I've won in the past. I'm going to win again, all right? It's going to be simple. One of my favorite stories to tell of our kids in school, in our Christian school, years ago, we had some really outstanding ping pong players. Now, we're not talking about just hitting it back and forth. We're talking about whooping it on that ball, all right? And making that ball spin and curve and do all that kind of fun stuff. And so we had been playing for several years, and we had a tournament. We had a couple of tournaments we went to every year. Never forget it. We went. I'm pretty sure we were out at Arlington Baptist College in that big gymnatorium. They had, I don't know how many tables set up out there, and there was probably at least 10 or 12 schools represented. And I was sitting at the judges' table, and these two high school boys came to the table, and they were going, they said, I think there's some mistake. There's been some mistake. We're in high school. And they've got us playing these two guys. They were about that tall. Those guys that tall were from our school. All right. One of them was Cheryl Fondon's brother. All right. And at that time, he was a little short kid. Stringy little dude. All right. As my grandpa would say, wormy looking kind of kid. All right. And they were both little short fellows. And so they were saying, you know, I said, yep. I said, they're young, but I moved them up. They're playing in high school. They'll play y'all. They're in the right place. Go ahead. Those two guys are looking at each other, laughing, chuckling, walking off. And I know in their heart it was, we're going to whoop the fire these kids. This is going to be no problem. No problem. It wasn't very long. They came back. They were no longer laughing. They were no longer picking up their feet and goosing each other like, you know. No, man, their heads were down. Their feet were dragging. And, of course, me being the kind, considerate individual I am, hey, man, how'd it go? I knew how it went. And those two little kids whooped those two big kids. But that's overconfidence. Overconfidence. Listen, don't you ever get the idea just because you've been able to beat the devil a time or two that you're going to be able to take him on again and win? Don't ever get that thought. Don't ever think to yourself, this will be a breeze. We've done it before, been down this road before. Don't you ever feel that way. Because you're going to be in a battle again. That was the reason old Goliath, he failed, and he was a failure because of his overconfidence. Listen, don't you ever count the devil out. Never. Until he is bound and in the bottomless pit, don't count him out, okay? Don't get that idea. But there's Goliath. He failed. All right? Trusted in his flesh. Just profane. Overconfident. The fourth reason I believe he failed is because he was a true Philistine. You say, why do you mean? Well, number one, he trusted in their false gods. Did you notice when it said he cursed David, it was he cursed them by his gods? See, here's old Goliath. He was a true Philistine. He cursed David. They served a false god. They served Dagon. Dagon was the fish god. Kind of half man, half fish. I don't know. Have y'all ever thought that a fish would make a good god? We're serving a fish, you know, and that's what we're worshiping, and that's who we're bound down to. Well, that was the Philistine. Hey, he was a true Philistine. He was unconverted, still serving a false god, still unconverted, all right? You said, well, preacher, he was a Philistine. I know, but wait a minute, he was unconvinced. He said, well, of course he was a Philistine. But wait, do you realize where the Philistines lived? They lived right next door to the Israelites. They had plenty of doings with the Israelites. They'd been around them, not for a day or two, but for years. For years, they had been around the Israelites. All of Goliath's life, all of David's life. Man, here's the Israelites, here's the Philistines, side by side. They knew each other. There's no way that Goliath could have grown up where he was and never heard the stories of all that the Israelite God had done. He had to have heard some of that somewhere down the line, all right? I mean, just a little bit of what God had done for them. Maybe how they did take on the city of Jericho and the walls fell. Hey, those kind of stories get passed along, all right? The story of them crossing the Red Sea. Look, those kind of things get told. It's not unknown. They get passed around. And here's old Goliath. He had to think, you know, our fish God has done nothing comparable to that for us. There's no story in our past that comes up. Yet here's Goliath, still not convinced. Who was God? Who was God? You say, preacher, I never have any problem with that. Well, wait a minute. I see a lot of people today that been in church, and it seems like they still waffle around about who God is. When you begin to look and see who they serve and what they do, you begin to wonder, do y'all know who God is? Do you know the God of the Bible? Do you remain unconvinced? Do you remain unconverted? It's a sad thing, but man, I see people grow up in a good church, Bible-preaching church, and they get grown and stray off into the world, and you never see them again. Make a mess out of their life. Hey, look, it shouldn't happen. But they grew up, they heard, unconvinced, unconverted. That's Goliath. Goliath is out there still mocking at him. One other thing I'll say, and I'm done tonight, I believe he failed because he was ignorant of the Scriptures. He was ignorant of the Scriptures. He didn't know anything of the Word of God. Now, wait a minute. I confess to you, he didn't have 66 books, okay? I'm not saying that he did. But he was ignorant of the Word of God. He could have, you know, learned a little bit. But I'm speaking to you today. We've got access to all 66 books. We can't run around and say, well, you know, I can't read. I say that occasionally to people. I go somewhere and they want to hand me a hymn book. And a lot, I'm too lazy to hold it, okay? So a lot of times I just tell them, and they hand me, I said, no, thank you, I can't read. And that's what they do. They laugh, all right? They laugh. But hey, even today, if you can't read, that's no reason to be ignorant of the Bible. You can buy a little deal and they'll read it to you. So that's no reason. You can't go through, you can't justify it. Well, let me give you a scripture, all right, over in the book of Jeremiah, all right? Now, I know you critics and are going to say, Jeremiah hadn't been written yet. I know it. But Jeremiah 9:23 was still true, okay? The Bible said, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Hey, you and I, we have the Bible. We have no excuse for saying, well, I didn't know that verse was in there. We have the Bible. But yet, how many people do we know that that's exactly what they do? The rich man glories in his riches. The wise man glories in his wisdom, what he knows. The mighty man glories in his might. It's look what I can do. Hey, the Bible warns us not to do that. I just want to preach to you. I'm not preaching to Goliath. I just want to preach to you about Goliath. He was a colossal failure. But our problem is ignorance of the Word of God is a sure road to failure. Guaranteed, it's a road to failure. On the other hand, if you'll know it, you'll hide it in your heart, you'll follow it, it can and will bring success. It even says it will. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, thy word, you know, it's the word, all right? Flip there with me, if you will. Joshua 1, verse 8. I don't think of this verse without thinking of a girl named Cynthia. This was her favorite scripture song. It said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Where does it come from? From meditating, getting the word of God in your heart, putting that word to use, beginning to live by that book. That will bring you success in life. Now, I'm not standing here preaching to you and saying, I'm guaranteeing if you do it, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and famous. Don't believe that, but you'll be successful. There's a lot more to success than health and wealth and fame. There's a lot of famous failures. Goliath was a famous failure. He failed. You say, what do you mean? Well, a little kid whooped him. That's what I mean. A young kid whooped him, not a soldier, a kid, with a slingshot and a few rocks. Took down that warrior. Took him down. Now, the rock didn't kill him, but cutting his head off sure made it tough on him, all right? Now listen, you stay with me. He was big. He had everything going for him physically. But he made a mistake, all right, and he failed. You and I don't need to be giant failures. We don't have to be giant failures. If you're a failure, don't say, well, couldn't help. Yeah, you could. Our confidence ought to be in the true and living God. Hey, I'm really talking about not failing. I'm not worried about your financial situation. I want you to be successful financially, but that's not the most important thing. I want you to be successful as a child of God in the spiritual realm. One of these days, we're going to stand before God, and the question is not going to be how much money did you have in your bank account. It's not going to be there. The question is not going to be how many touchdown passes did you throw. It's not going to be how many people did you beat up. It's not going to be that, all right? It's not going to be how many stickers you could put on the outside of your fighter jet for the kills you made. That's not going to be it. The question is not going to have anything to do with that. The question is going to be how good a steward were you of the things God gave you? And what did you do with them? Success is not going to be based upon your bank account. It's not going to be based on your fame. It's not going to be based on how many followers you had on whatever, all right? Any social media. It's not going to be based on that. It's going to be on spiritual things. Hey, listen, if we're going to be successful, our confidence, our faith ought to be in the true and living God. We ought to be convinced of Him and what He can do and what He will do. We should know the Scriptures, and we ought to lean upon them, or to draw strength from them. Don't put your life out there like Goliath did and say, look at me, I can handle it. I'll be honest with you, look at me, I can't handle it. I need the Lord every day. And if you're going to be a success for Him, you need Him too, all right? You need Him too. Goliath, giant failure. Hey, just ask you tonight, we're going to have the invitation, which direction are you heading? Success or failure? Not in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God. By the way, Goliath was a great success until that day he met David. But now he's a big failure. That's where he's known, getting killed by David. Now, which way are your life heading? Is it headed towards success? Are you working to hide the Word of God in your heart? Are you working to learn to trust God? Are you working to learn to put a lid on your lips that what comes out of them is not profane? What are you doing with your life? Which way is it headed? All right? Which way is it headed? Hey, what do you need to work on? What do you need to work on? God's speaking to you. I hope you'll move tonight. Invitation. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord. Help us to be honest with ourselves. Help us.